face and cracked the screen.
Okay.
And then on Saturday, I went and bought a new smart cover.
That was smart.
It felt pretty smart. Yeah. I was behind it. They only had blue at the Staples.
Nothing wrong with blue.
Yeah, like at first I was like, well, fuck that. And I was like, oh, wait, I don't care.
It is kind of like a baby blue, but I mean,
yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. At some point, I just didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
I just wanted to put a cover on it. I guess I might take this to an Apple store at some point and say, hey, this is cracked. Can you fix it? But, I mean, I can't really feel that it's cracked. And if I'm looking right at it, it doesn't look cracked.
I can kind of see it from this angle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. From any angle, you can see it. It's kind of fun, almost. You look at it and go, oh, well then.
It's like the world's shittiest magic eye puzzle.
Yep. I can see the sailboat if I bend it like this.
There you go. Ooh, a donkey.
Uh-huh. Don't run into this car.
Eh.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. It's a rental. Who cares?
Yeah. I got coverage. It's fine. Yeah.
All right. Ah.
I almost did wreck this car a couple of times earlier this week.
Not used to all this California weather, huh? Yeah.
No, it's not even... My girlfriend and I, before we came up here, we were down in... Southern California, down kind of bumming around in the desert for a few days.
Uh-huh.
Sam, who is just this fucking, I don't know, like that Airbnb whisperer, she finds these bizarre places that are always great, but just completely out in the middle of fucking nowhere.
Mm.
We're staying in this like geodesic dome.
Awesome.
In this place called Pioneer Town, which is a town that was founded by, I want to say, Roy Rogers and Gene Autry as a film set in the 40s.
Mm.
And now people just live in the buildings they built for the film set.
No, weird.
The place was even like a few miles away from the town. But it was off this dirt road that was absolute disaster. Like, just rocks jutting up out of it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just popped and fucking juts everywhere. And this car, being a Ford Focus, does not really...
A fine American automobile.
Yeah, a fine American automobile for paved roads.
Yeah.
Not so great for dirt stuff. I almost, like, just fell off the goddamn road a couple of times with this thing because it just could not handle the makeup of the road.
What do you mean? You just do need to go faster, man. It's a rally car.
Not this model. No. No, this is not. This is not, like, the kind of thing you'd see in, you know, your Colin McRae's or your Forza.
Ahead, curve 30. Good.
I miss that. I haven't played a good rally racing game in a long time. I miss having a little driver guy telling you everything and not really understanding anything he was telling you. Hey, remember when Forza 2 came out this year?
Forza Horizon 2?
That's what I meant.
Yes. That was a good game.
I had almost completely forgotten about it until I started looking at games that came out this year last week and said, oh, right, that game. I played it a lot for a week and then forgot about it.
Yep.
Like, once I got through that last challenge, the last, you know, that you get the last wristband or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I was like, nope, I'm good.
There's some stuff about the multiplayer or the way they bring players together in that game, I think, to be better.
Yeah, I never really got into the multiplayer stuff at all.
Yeah, I thought the roads in the first game were better.
Yeah. Just the environment in general. Like, it was nice looking, but it just... There's something about the randomness of rendering Colorado in any way that just... Just, like, the kind of outdoorsy quality to it that I really liked. Like, driving through the vineyards got old kind of fast.
Mm. Yeah, no, I like Horizon a lot. I didn't like it at first. Like, I really wasn't enjoying it for the first...
It's a weird game.
Yeah.
It always feels... Both those games, to me, have felt like, deep down, those guys really just want to make a new Burnout. Like a Burnout Paradise-style game, but, like, that's what they can make within the limitations of those car licenses.
Right.
They let you trash all these environments, but the cars have to stay in relatively good shape.
Have you seen Wreckfest at all?
No.
It's Bugbear's Next Car Game.
Ah, okay, so the last time I saw that, it was still called Next Car Game.
Yeah. The destructibility on the cars in that is really fucking impressive.
That has always been their thing. They love
right.
trashing cars.
Yeah, but now they're just like, fuck, I'm running in a destruction derby game.
Awesome. The derby stuff in Flat Out, those
yeah.
are their first two. The destruction derby stuff in those games are always fun.
Yeah, yeah. I had a moment where I was like, oh man, what, you know, like, what is the best driving game to come out this year? And I forgot that Forza had come out. And I was like, well, there was no new Need for Speed. I mean, it's almost like the crew gets to walk away with it. And I'm like, oh wait, no, Forza came out.
I've heard some shit about the crew. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like everyone who's been in the 9,000 different betas for the crew that have been going on, like a lot of people in this chat here, or some people in this chat here, have certainly voiced that they think it's a gigantic piece of shit.
Well, there you go. Now I don't feel so bad for thinking that game was garbage every time I played it.
Yeah, I thought it was garbage the first time I played it, and then when I played it right before E3 this year, I was like, you know what, actually, there might be something to this.
They could just make the driving fun. Because conceptually, it's a cool idea.
Yeah. None of these cars are moving.
No, they are not. What happened, Jeff? I thought they fixed the traffic on this freeway.
They're... no...
No.
No.
Man.
It's been shittier lately.
Great.
Also, the storyline stuff in the crew. Like, once I played, because they did the closed beta, and it was actually, like, the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And seeing, like, your character and, like, the story and stuff, it's just the most embarrassing fucking... Like, it makes the original Need for Speed Most Wanted look like high fucking art and cinema.
Ooh.
But, I mean, it's not FMV, so it doesn't even...
So it doesn't even have that kitsch
right,
factor
yeah,
to it.
It's just like, here's this fucking awful... At the beginning, your brother gets fucking gunned down or whatever, and you get blamed for it, and it's just...
All right.
You know, like, they had to come up with, like, oh, now you're working for the cops, or whatever it is, and now you got to take down the gang that you used to run, or... fucking whatever.
Is it literally possible for game developers to make a game that isn't about murder revenge? Can we just, like... Come on, man.
I mean,
I know it's like
a powerful thing, you know?
It's a really easy go-to, I get it, but it's just so hackneyed now, man.
This from my inbox, Ubisoft releases The Crew launch trailer, so...
Terrific. Yeah, it's out tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Or tonight, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I should buy and preload that.
Sure.
Considering they're not going to send it out.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, maybe we'll get it tomorrow.
Like, there's a part of me that wanted to review that, but I still have all this Dragon Age and all these other games I still need to finish playing.
Are you liking Dragon Age?
I am. I'm only a few hours in, so I've barely scratched it, but, like, I'm into it so far. Mm. I'm digging it. I'm rolling a mage.
My lady friend is a gigantic Dragon Age fan. Like, she liked Dragon Age 2.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay.
And hates this fucking game.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it that she hates about it?
Some of the characters, a lot of the romance. I've watched the romance unfold, and I think it's bad by BioWare standards. And she's just not liking the combat at all.
Yeah. So I played some of the first, and I never played the second one after hearing everyone talk about it. BioWare RPGs are not generally my thing, but I figured it was going to come up in conversation, so I should play through it. And the first, you know, first few hours, I've been digging. I don't know it's the kind of game I would have picked up on my own and sunk a million hours into completely of my own volition, but I am enjoying it.
Yeah.
Like, I can see where some of the complaints about the combat...
And just some of the zones, like, some of the way the zones are built and some of the way the quest objectives are laid out, like, just, it's a lot of, like, wait a minute, I can't Skyrim my way up the side of this mountain, but, like, the map is not necessarily clear about how I need to get around this mountain to the thing that's on the other side.
Right.
What the fuck's going on? So...
Has anyone over there fucked around with Persona Q at all?
No. Okay. No, I was saving that for when everyone got into town.
Cool. Curious about that one. I've heard people seem to really, really like it, so...
No, I charged up my 3DS over the weekend and then forgot to grab it on my way out the door.
I would say Patrick started playing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a copy. I also have a code. Do you want the code?
I'm less likely to play that than probably other people, so I feel like you should probably hand that off to someone else. Okay. But
yeah, it's just one of those things where I was waiting for the retail copy because I knew we were going to want to play it on a capture kit for a quick look, and then it was just like, okay, well, wait, who am I going to do this with? I really fucking like Call of Duty.
Yeah, I played some of it at home. Mm. I ended up bringing that one with me, but I played some of the campaign. I liked it more than I have liked the last several.
Yep.
Like, so I think Modern Warfare 2 is the last one I played with any seriousness. But I played Black Ops and I played I didn't play Ghosts at all.
Yeah, you didn't. As much.
Yeah, but like I've been kind of into this one. Like, it seems it, like, even as someone who does not care about the multiplayer very much at all,
yeah,
it seems good.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm glad there's a Call of Duty that is worth getting excited about again, because mm-hmm. that franchise used to be pretty rad.
Yeah it's like surprising me how much I want to keep. I've been playing through Far Cry 4 again.
Yeah,
like just on like proper retail. Like, doing all the side stuff, climbing all the towers, doing all the shit that I didn't do when I was reviewing it. I got to a point in that game where I was like, alright, I'm just going to finish the storyline, because...
Right. Because you have to,
eventually. Because I already know what all these bits do.
Yeah.
So I just kind of powered through and finished the story up, and then got an ending that I was not happy with, so kind of taking it in a different way.
Yeah, that was pretty much what I did with Unity, because, you know, that game is just so absurdly weighed down with random side missions and shit. At a certain point, it's like, once you've seen at least a couple of everything, you just be able to be like, alright, I just need to finish this goddamn story.
That game...
Yeah.
That fucking game. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's a real bummer. Rogue seems better.
Yeah.
Not great by any stretch,
but... Did you end up getting a copy of Rogue?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they finally sent it over. Yeah, I haven't gotten to, like, I'm like 5 hours into that game, and apart from the fact where it is so recycled from Black Flag, just everything about it,
mm-hmm.
it's not bad.
Yeah.
If you just wanted more Black Flag, it is pretty decent at being more Black Flag.
Yeah, it was one of those things where we did the quick look, and I'm like, oh, this looks like a lot, like, just more Black Flag, and I was like, oh, that's awesome, and I thought for a minute, like, oh, you know, actually, I don't know that I want to play any more Black Flag.
Yeah, that's fair.
So.
Yeah, Black Flag was the first game, was only one of only two games last year where I ended up going through and playing through, like, all the side objectives, like, tried to get 100% on everything. It was like that and Saints Row 4.
Yeah.
Though with Saints Row, like, once the DLC started coming around, I kind of fell off that, but...
Yeah, I didn't touch any of the Saints Row DLC. I don't care.
I did one of the DLC ones. It was the, and then I just didn't play any of the others.
Yeah, like the Saints Row 3 DLC was such a crap fest. The last thing I wanted to do, and like Saints Row 4, like, kind of like exhausted me on where they were at with that stuff, you know, and I didn't really want to see any more of it. So.
It's almost kind of impressive to me how not excited most people seem to be for the next thing, the Gat Out of Hell stuff.
Yeah, I have zero interest in that. Like, Johnny Gat is the weakest character in that franchise now, so it's just sort of...
And it's not that I don't trust them to do something funny with the whole Hell premise, but I just... It's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Looking for the next great game in the Saints Row franchise. I'm not
exactly.
Looking for
a standalone DLC.
Yeah, it's not especially. It's difficult for me to tell how much of that is the new Deep Silver connection and how much of that is just them. like them having to sort of churn these things out.
Well, THQ would have made them churn stuff out probably even a little faster. So sure. This is probably. I wouldn't necessarily blame Deep Silver.
Fair enough.
But who knows?
Then again, what Deep Silver has done with the, Dead Island shit.
Yeah.
Since Dead Island.
Oof. Yeah.
I didn't play that, that thing that came out this year, the Escape Dead Island. I heard it was,
I heard it was the fucking worst thing ever. I heard it might be,
trash
fest. Like, I feel like you should probably play it at some point, because...
Dan was playing it for a little bit,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, they did a quick look.
I'll check it out at some point, just to see what it is.
It sounds like a real heap of shit. Right up your alley.
Yeah, I was thinking of, like, worst game stuff, because, you know, that's just kind of where my brain tends to go this time of year.
Yeah.
I think Rambo is a real obvious
Rambo's real bad
to be in there. That Enforcer police crime action game that Vinny and I quick looked, I think maybe is a contender.
Was that not early access?
No.
Okay, all right.
No, that's a game that is just out.
Okay.
And it is special.
All right, I'll have to watch that quick look. I didn't see it. What about Bot Colony? Does that come out this year?
I want to say Bot Colony's not done.
Yeah,
I want to say that's early access.
Yeah.
But that would be a contender if it was full out. That thing's a fucking disaster. Yeah, not too many really terrible games this year, but I think there's just enough to fill out a category.
Mm-hmm.
How was that Gaiba Ninja Gaiden Z game?
It sucks. Oh, man, yeah, that's a bad game. Man.
I had forgotten about that one, but...
God damn,
it
yes.
seemed real bad.
It seemed like it took forever to come out and was a bad idea day one.
It took forever to come out.
It's
and
one of those things
why?
Where it's like, hey, you want hands-on with this game? Yes, I do. Oh, this is terrible.
Oof.
You guys are shipping that. Okay, all right, keep going.
So this is the game you're putting out. All right.
All right. It was like the PR people were like not even pushy about like wanting people to say, hey, do you want to see Iba? Like, no, it's okay. We don't know. We understand.
Oh, yeah, they knew what they had. I played that game at E3, and the PR person gave me the most tentative, like, so, what'd you think? I've maybe ever heard on an E3 show floor, so.
I got a pretty good one of those from someone at Nintendo a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. Do you remember what game it was?
It was Nintendo.
Okay. What do you think about our company's direction right now? Oh, boy. I don't know, man. I think there are like 3 Wii U games on my top 10 list this year, so...
Yeah, they fucking... You know, when it comes to nailing their shit, they nailed their shit, right?
Yep. Like, I don't even really like Smash Brothers, and I've been enjoying that new Smash Brothers, so...
I think it's well put together. I have zero interest in it, though.
I like playing it with Sam. It's one of the few games that she's kind of super into, so I've been digging that. It's probably not going to make my list, but I like that game a lot, actually. Yeah. I think it's well done.
I think Mario Kart's beautiful, but again, like, I do not want to play that game.
I would never expect anyone
else. Story.
We'll never expect anyone else to love Mario Kart the way I love Mario Kart. That's fine. I think that is probably the best version of Mario Kart that has come out in years. So, It's better than 7. It's much better than the Wii version. Like that, Shovel Knight.
Shovel Knight's good. Yeah.
What's the other one?
Jazz Punk.
Fuck yeah, Jazz Punk. Yeah, I played through Jazz Punk like 4 times this year.
I have still only played through it once, so I'm kind of looking forward to giving it another go.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you get any kind of different experience through it. I like it. It's funny. Something you can do in like 3 hours if you got the time.
I started playing Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah.
It came out on like PS4 or whatever. I had not played it before. I didn't realize it was a narrator joke game.
It's a good one of those, I think.
Yeah, yeah, it seemed good. Then I got to the third shape, and I was like, you know what? I get it.
Sure. Yeah, that was one I kind of fell off of, too. But well made, and I'm looking forward to Volume. Is this next game?
Yeah, yeah.
I like following people like him and like Rami on Twitter because they give these really detailed development updates constantly on the projects they're working on.
I just like Rami on Twitter because it's updates about how he is compiling the game somewhere weird.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in a toilet at Heathrow.
Yeah.
Compiling and uploading the build.
I'm sitting in the middle of a park in Taiwan.
Maybe the most telling thing I've seen in chat. Someone saying, wait, is Thomas Was Alone funny?
There you go.
Yeah. Have you touched that Borderlands thing? I guess it came out while you were gone, like in the desert
no,
or something.
I haven't.
Me and Rory played a little bit of it on Wednesday.
So I saw the demo they did at E3 of that.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, like the first... Basically, they showed like the first 45 minutes of the first episode.
Mm.
And I was prepared to hate it, and I didn't. And what I realized was the reason I didn't hate it was because the writing seemed very different from the typical tone of,
right,
of the other games. And I don't know, it seemed like they were more just focused on like a smallish kind of story, which I liked.
Right.
Yeah, so I might check that out at some point.
I playing it, I kind of was able to recognize that stuff, but still came away with the feeling of like, I don't want to play any of these Telltale games. Like, mm-hmm. Period.
I mean, especially after this here. Like, Wolf Among Us was all right. I think that is a game that suffered for its episodic structure more than anything else.
That thing, I feel like, the first episode came out, and I did not hear about it again.
It was never as good as that pilot. Like, that first episode was by far the best. And it got better toward the end, but the middle of that season was pretty draggy.
Yeah.
And the month between episode or whatever, like, that just really sucked a lot of the energy out of it.
Yeah.
Walking Dead Season 2 was a mess.
Yeah, I guess I didn't hear anyone talking about that at all either.
That might be in the category for most disappointing, because that's another one that starts out not spectacularly, but has like an okay, like, but that's that season had a really great middle and not so great beginning and end.
Oh, that sucks.
Like, the third episode in that season was excellent, and then everything else was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, and it's one of the things where it's like, now there's that Ron Gilbert Kickstarter,
yeah,
for the like Scum style game, and I'm just left going like, you know what, I don't think I have anything left for adventure games anymore. I think it came back and then you used it up all over again.
Yeah, I think it just, you know, it's got to be it. The nostalgia alone is not enough to get me interested anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they've gone to nostalgia well so many times. Like, it has to be a well-made game for me to care.
I feel like the best thing I can say about, like, the modern resurgence of adventure games is that it really made me want to go play Day of the Tentacle again.
Sure.
It just makes me want to go back to those games, not play new games in that style.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, Telltale's kind of updated take on that style. It's just, nope.
I am curious about Game of Thrones, but that's mostly out of my... very, like, my strong interest in the TV series making me want to play that game more than anything else. And is that second Broken Age half is supposed to come at some point, right?
Yes. I think I can say with some authority it is supposed to come at some point.
Okay, cool. Was it Massive Chalice in open early access?
Yeah,
or?
It's in early access now. People seem to like that.
Yeah.
I don't really...
I'll try it.
Yeah. Thank you.
wasn't like this before, man. Last time I was here, it was pretty chill.
And we're also on the road a little bit earlier. Probably.
So what you're saying is that we should leave later.
I don't know. I've actually been liking getting in a little earlier. I feel like just getting more done.
I've really been digging having an office to go to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, granted, the part of that is my commute's relatively easy, but, like, having somewhere to be in the morning multiple days a week has helped a lot with my ability to get shit done.
When should we do another wrestling podcast?
Why don't we do it next week?
Yeah,
right. In the lead up to TLC.
Right. I watched Survivor Series. Right. What the fuck?
So I went back and watched the main event. I was out of town when that was happening. Yeah. They had never told me the main event is the only part of that show you really need to watch.
I'm trying to remember.
I guess Ambrose Wyatt was good too.
Yeah, it was fine, but the ending was disappointing. The non-ending, I guess.
Now, you know, they got to save something for the next pay-per-view. Apparently.
Yeah, I mean, so that was actually the thing about that match is that it felt like an ad.
Right. Hey, remember that tables, ladders, and chairs is coming up?
Yeah,
check out all these chairs that are happening.
And then he pulled out a ladder and then didn't use it as if to say, subscribe to the network to see me jump off this ladder.
Yep.
Which just made the end of it awkward, because it was the last thing he did was get the ladder out, set it up, climb up the ladder, and then just pose on the ladder.
It was the wrestling equivalent of sponsored content.
Yeah, basically.
It's terrible. That main event was hype, though.
Yeah, it was good. It was really fun.
Like, parts of it made no sense. Like, the whole Big Show turn was weird, and, like, Ryback's involvement seemed non-existent. So
yeah.
It was odd, but like just everything with Ziggler was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, they did good with him, and they made it credible. And the Sting stuff was so goofy.
Yeah, it's like, why not?
He looked confused. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was supposed, like, he looked like he had forgotten a line of dialogue.
Right.
He was standing out there so long with that look on his face. That was just like, looking was like, line. What am I supposed to? What am I doing? Shit. And he also had a really good early late period Ric Flair hair.
Yep. Like early '90s, mid '90s Ric Flair.
Yeah. Or like early aughts, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, he looks rough, but. You know, if they're going to squeeze one match out of him, at least, I think that's cool. It's fine. That's a cool attraction to have for WrestleMania.
I guess, yeah, sure. But I feel like only if it's Undertaker.
It's not. It's going to be Triple H.
Yeah, that.
I think that's fine. Like, that'll do.
I feel like that has, like, I have real logic problems with. I have real logic problems with a lot of people wrestling Triple H.
Sure.
Because I think he looks better and tougher than most of the main roster.
Yes. Still. Yes.
So, the idea of putting him in a match with Sting, like, Triple H looks like a fucking monster.
Mm-hmm.
He would fucking destroy Sting. He would break that old man in half.
Maybe he breaks that old man in half.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happens. Maybe that's Sting's one WWE match, is him getting destroyed by Triple H. There's something to that.
So here's the payday. Get out.
Yep. I mean, it's not like this is anything more than just that for him, you know? I mean, I was talking to Garrett Martin from Paste when we were at SummerSlam, and he actually got to talk to Sting a little bit, and he sounded like just every answer he had was just like the most mercenary answer possible. Of just no real nostalgia or good feelings for anything. Just kind of like, wrestling's a thing I did, it's fine, whatever. You know, I'm here, that's cool, I guess.
Yeah.
Just real aloof about everything.
I want to fucking find that Bret Hart interview I did.
It was for GameSpot, right?
Yeah. We did it at E3. Were you there?
So I was at that E3. I wasn't
not at the interview. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't working with you at that point.
Okay, so you weren't working. You were there for like Bleem or something? Was that one of the Bleem years?
That, if that wasn't Bleem, then that was just me going via Glenn for no reason.
Okay.
That was me being one of those shitheads that I always complain about now.
Right, yeah, of course.
But, yeah, so I remember you talking to you at that show after you did that interview and you just shaking your head a lot going, dude.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you watch, so I just watched the Monday Night War episode about Bret Hart, and it has a lot of the Wrestling with Shadows footage in it, and, like, you know, just talking about kind of where he was at that point in his career, and how he felt about how he was being used in WCW, and it just, all of it just looks like that interview, except in that interview he was so much more pissed.
Right.
Just sitting in a fucking folding chair in some weird conference room, and me sitting in a folding chair next to him, talking to him.
And him just being like...
I don't think we filmed it. I don't know if I was just there taking notes or what... Like, I can't remember if it was recorded. And that makes me crazy.
Probably wouldn't have been a video interview. So it probably would have been like...
I would have thought that, like, we would have sent a camera to interview Bret Hart. But, but maybe not.
Is there not, like, a attached interview on, like, the WCW Mayhem page?
Dude, like, so many of those fucking old videos are so fucked up on that site.
It's true. Yeah.
You know,
like half the video reviews I did for that site just don't work.
They're in there. You I mean, you know, it's real low priority, but if you bug Dan or he'll fix that stuff.
Okay.
It's the user video uploads that are all gone.
Right.
So it's like all the weird us reacting to on the day that they named the Wii. And, like, all the stuff running up to E3 that one year.
Egbert punching me in the stomach, that
stuff. Like, all that stuff's gone.
Okay. Well, I saved that video myself, so at least I have that video forever of Egbert punching me in the stomach.
Great. Yeah, he was so fucking bitter and just so, like... did not want to be there and was so fucking just pissed. And it was like, he wanted to just talk openly, but then couldn't and didn't. And so it was this weird half step of him saying, like, he basically saying, like, I think they're using me really poorly. And, like, me not, like, that being the first time I'd interviewed a wrestler that was that fucking straight. And it was just like,
hang on. Well, you're prepared for this, all right. So you're saying that was your equivalent of my Warrior interview?
It was, like, it was a shit show. Like, it was not a good interview. Because he was just fucking pissed, and I was just like, like, I'm not that big of a Bret Hart fan, so...
Well, at least you've gone on to do some good wrestler interviews.
Yes, I feel better about my later work in the space.
So far, like, to this day, I honestly think the only good wrestler interviews I've ever done were with Daniel Bryan. Every time I talk to that dude, he's super easy and, like, affable and, like, just happy to talk about whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone else I end up interviewing, it ends up being some, like, varying degrees of shit show.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was really worried about the Roman Reigns stuff going into it, because I just wasn't sure, like, what he was going to be like.
How he would take the joke.
There was that. I hadn't even considered that was going to get brought up until Giancarlo made it very clear that he was going to do it. He said, okay, great. You can have fun with that.
Why wouldn't he, you know? But yeah, no, I think that interview turned out
It was fun. Well. It was really fun talking to him. I just wasn't really sure, like, is he going to be, like, stiff? Is he going to be, you know, what's his story?
He seems like a total dude. Like, he just seems like a really laid-back dude.
Yes,
for the most
exactly.
Part.
He just seemed like a real, just laid-back guy. Absolutely.
I will also say that I appreciated a comment on the podcast for that said he sounds like the kind of guy who would think cocking his arm back like a shotgun is really cool.
You know what? In the context of wrestling and the dumb shit that happens in wrestling, cocking your arm back like a shotgun is really cool.
Sure. But that is also a completely accurate summation of that guy, I think.
The vignettes or whatever?
Well, so they showed up on SmackDown.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the story? with them in the ring?
The story with them in the ring is that they are all they are wrestling friends who help each other out.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's actually kind of what I hoped it would be, but yeah. With like maybe just a little too much stereotypical shit attached to it. But that said, I'm just happy to see them doing stuff. Because, like, I like pretty much all of those guys, and they seem like they are working reasonably well together, so hopefully they won't take that in a bad direction.
Yeah, yeah. And are they working as good guys? Or
yeah.
They, okay, all right, good.
Yeah, they went up against Slater, Gator, and I forget who the third guy was, but it was a six-man tag, which it's weird.
Is Slater, Gator a tag team?
Kinda.
Is it Heath Slater and who?
And, Titus O'Neil.
Oh, okay.
They just kind of paired those guys up.
All right.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. Heath Slater seems like he's not a good person.
Oh.
Okay, that's maybe a bit harsh. I was watching some of the Monday Night War stuff, and like all the interview footage is of him wearing this shitty hat and just looking like real dumb.
I think he's
and
just a huge dork.
Okay. All right.
I think that's what it boils down to, is that Heath Slater is a huge dork, which is fine, and because I think it's sort of endearing at times. Like, he's really good at being the butt of jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like it's one of those roles in wrestling where you want them just like to get up at the end of a match and just turn to the camera, and go, "It's living," and then like walk backstage. Like, well.
You can't probably do it on television,
right? Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
Scene just change, fucking things pops
yeah,
up.
Just Star Wars white. Which yeah. I'm sure is like not the position that anyone thinks they're going to be in when they get into wrestling. But hey, you're still a part of the show.
Yeah, and I mean,
Santino Marella.
Sometimes that shit works out real well. I mean, Damian Sandow is now one of the most popular characters on the show at the moment.
Yeah, totally. Like the when they finally get around to breaking those two up and, you know, cash in on that stuff, which they probably never will because that would be too good.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fucking, that could be a fucking great.
I mean, they're doing the best shit with him right now. Like, he is carrying around two tag team replica belts
yep.
instead of one of the tag team
yep.
belts.
It's really good.
Yep. He threw himself out of the Battle Royal on SmackDown after Miz got eliminated.
Oh, okay. Guardians of the Galaxy.
That movie's alright.
Yeah, that movie is alright.
The most impressive thing about that movie to me is not that it is a genuinely funny Marvel movie, but it is that they found a way to cram in all that Infinity Gauntlet bullshit.
Right.
And a lot of it into an origin story on top of everything else and still make it feel like a movie that made some sense.
Mm.
Because they had to backfill so much like story stuff into that movie, and it surprisingly worked. Like, I'm now kind of just looking forward to the Guardians of the Galaxy movie that isn't about all that bullshit. It was just a story about those people being those people.
Yeah, yeah.
God, I don't care about Infinity Gems. I don't care about any of that stuff.
It works good in Marvel Superheroes.
Yeah.
The fighting game.
Yeah, that's fine. I know everyone kind of reveres all that stuff as like some of Marvel's best storytelling. I just never got into it. I don't care about Thanos. I don't.
No, I don't know. He's the boss of that game. That's the end. That's the beginning and end of my knowledge of how that stuff works. That movie kind of reminded me of The Fifth Element in a way, weird way. Like, it had a kind of a design aesthetic to it that a lot of sci-fi doesn't.
Yeah, it's that sort of just very bright and weird
yeah.
kind of sci-fi.
I liked that about it. Like, separate from it. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, this works as a movie. It doesn't need to be a comic book movie.
At some point, Gary Oldman just shows up with his weird plastic head thing.
Yeah. Now, whatever, man. They don't fucking need him because they got Michael Rooker.
Yep. And Benicio Del Toro for no reason at all.
Right.
The James Gunn's, like, Scorsese DiCaprio, you know, relationship is with Michael Rooker.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, Rooker's in, like, everything he does.
Fantastic. Michael Rooker's great.
That's his Spielberg-Dreyfus pairing.
Awesome. But I will say, like, it didn't make me any more interested in any of the other Marvel movies.
Yeah.
You know, the thought of just, like, they're going to tie it all together. Like, nope. That, in fact, it kind of, that the idea that that's where it's all heading kind of made me sad.
Yeah.
It's like, why can't this thing just be a thing? It doesn't...
Man, you know, nothing can just be a thing anymore. Like, everything has to be a franchise. It has to be a universe. You know, fucking Universal Pictures is now going to take all their monster movies and turn that into one big universe.
Yay.
Finally, the Frankenstein-Dracula crossover we've always dreamed of, sort of, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry, that Dracula movie that came out this year was supposed to possibly be the start of that. That doesn't give me great hopes for it.
There was a Dracula movie that came out this year?
Yes, Dracula Untold. It had that one guy who sort of looks like Orlando Bloom that isn't Orlando Bloom in it.
Does it end with... Does the universe all come together with just the monster mash?
If they were more self-aware, I would say, yes, I hope so, but I don't think so. Probably not. They probably don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it come together with a documentary about people who sing songs about monster parties? Saying, will there be a scene in any one of these movies where David Cross is washing underwear in a sink?
I mean, one can dream.
Okay.
Will there be a footage of a psychiatrist masturbating to footage yes. of David Cross talking about monster parties?
Yes. Yes, that I can guarantee will be.
Okay, good. All right.
Like they're gonna tear out more of those toll plazas on the bridge.
I think they've probably torn out as many as they're gonna. They
tore out two so far. But they have so much construction here and stuff around those other two.
I'm just trying to figure out what's the purpose of that.
I figure they'll tear out those two and give them to these lanes because going back the other way is actually really fucked right now.
Right, because all the lanes kind of merge to one side all at once. Are there enough seats for all of us to work here?
Yes.
Okay.
But there's a bunch of shit at all those desks right now. So.
Oh, I'll clear some shit. I'm fine with that. I just want to make sure there's enough desks.
Yeah, there's enough desks.
All right.
Because Tony moved into an office.
Oh, okay.
So. So there are exactly three spots.
Excellent.
In that block.
This works out nicely then.
Yeah, we need to fucking clean up. There are too many boxes again.
Yeah, our workspace at the new office for the first week was essentially just like everybody's cubes was pretty much unpacked except ours. There were just these giant box stacks.
Nice.
Around our two cubes. I think our studio should be done by the time we get back.
Mm.
If not exactly, then pretty close to it.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I'm gonna try new supply streams for the years over, depending on how quickly then you can get stuff assembled.
Yeah.
Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, let's go see that.
I have never seen a Cirque du Soleil anything ever.
I saw... O?
Uh-huh, that sounds like something that would...
No, I saw a Mystère.
Oh, Mystère. Yes. I have no idea why I'm so dismissive about it, I just am. Like, it's just, it brings out this very primal... hatred that I don't actually have any reason to justify.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, whatever, it's acrobats doing acrobat shit. Mm-hmm. Like, on one level, you're like, this is kind of impressive that they can do that. On the other hand, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I saw the Blue Man Group also. It was...
Is it exactly what you think it would be?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's fucking, here's a bunch of fucking tubes and pipes, and we're banging on them like they're instruments.
Oh, cool.
When I pull this one out, it makes it lowers in tone, so it's like a little percussive trombone thing.
Finally, my two favorite things in the world, percussion and mime work.
Yeah.
One, just did one thing.
Yep. Together. Like stomp, but with mimes.
Right.
And again, there were parts of the Blue Man Group that I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's cool. That's a big production. Neat.
Yeah. That's the thing with all these shows. There are parts of them that are always impressive, but it doesn't mean that I want to go and see them.
Yeah, it didn't make me want to. I was like, now I'm into this genre. Let's go to more Vegas shows.
I am now only into French circuses.
Right, yes.
Enjoy our new French circus podcast, premium on giantbomb.com.
Yep.
This car has maybe the worst acceleration of any rental car I've ever had. And not just in a, it's slow to accelerate, but like, it struggles really hard to shift into second gear for some reason.
Huh.
I don't know if it's just that the car is broken, or this is just how these cars are.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how many miles are on this thing? Maybe it's just...
It's like 30,000.
trying to decide what this woman is doing with her phone all held up. Like,
it doesn't look like she's really talking into it. She's just listening to that serial podcast and forgot her headphones.
I guess she is kind of holding it up to her ear. That's true.
I haven't listened to that CM Punk thing yet.
Yeah, me neither.
I hear it's...
I read the details, and it sounds...
sounds interesting, if nothing else.
But... yeah, it sounds like he is justified in his feelings. I'm sure that there's another side to that story or something.
Of course. I guess Vince McMahon is doing the Steve Austin podcast on Monday.
Yeah, I'm curious live. To see, like, how that goes. Like... You don't see a lot of interviews with Vince McMahon about stuff. Yeah. So.
I feel like Steve Austin is maybe one of the few people in the world he would actually open up to a little bit. Sounds like they still have a pretty decent relationship.
Yeah, and like, I mean, they'll probably be talking specifically about that era and that storyline and stuff.
That's fine.
So there's room to reminisce or something.
Like, I would be interested to hear them rap about, you know, when Steve Austin took off for a while.
Yeah. Which they seem to be pretty good at glossing over.
Yeah.
When they now talk about that era. There's definitely, like, there was that episode of that Monday Night Wars that was about Austin. Like, when they get to that point, there's like... and then when he had to retire, it was like, well, wait a minute.
Let's be real about this.
Dig into this. Just unpack that a little bit.
Tunnel.
Sometimes you get trapped in this tunnel for a good long time and you think about daylight.
The movie, you mean?
Yeah.
I think of it often, even when I'm not in tunnels.
Mm. The world sucks. Everything sucks now.
All right,
everything's too fucking cute.
What now?
Skeletor has taken over Honda's Twitter account.
Oh, yeah. So he...
like, what?
So, whoever it is that was doing the Skeletor voice on Robot Chicken, like, they did an ad where Skeletor is talking about how when you were a kid you were excited to get Skeletor. Now you're an adult, so you should be excited to get a Honda for Christmas. Because, you know, when you buy cars for people for Christmas, Honda is the brand, is the first one you think of.
I guess. I don't know. What the fuck does a skeleton man know about cars?
He knows that Honda makes fine, reliable automobiles. I guess. I don't know. I saw the ad once and kind of went, and that Office. That's about it.
Yeah, I did not see the ad, so...
I'm generally in agreement with you that brands use social media poorly, especially when they try to get cute about it.
Yeah.
I think the Denny's account is the only one that I kind of enjoy, because whoever is running that account seems like they're mildly insane.
Yeah, yes. That one is insane on its own.
Yeah. Like, they just hired a crazy person to run that thing. Which, great. That's what I want to see. Brands getting unhinged.
Right. Yes. If they can just get fucking weird on their own, then, like, but this is just like, you fucking imagine some fucking piece of garbage in a suit going like, mashup culture, man. We're putting Skeletor with our brand. And brands.
Remember
and
the
brands.
80s?
It's cool retro vibes, bro.
But man, we're going to get the Robot Chicken guys to do it. They're fucking...
Chicken is edgy, but, Nintendo, you know, within reason.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry, guys. It's going to be cool. Chiat Day stands by the...
I'm sorry, I almost just projectile vomited there. I don't really know why that happened.
Sorry. When you speak names of ad firms, it's you know, there's unsealing some dark part.
Yeah. Sarah Nizzle points out that the Totino's social media guy is pretty good, too.
Hmm.
So, I'm only aware of the Totino's guy when he's tweeting about wrestling, which he's usually pretty good about.
Hmm. No, it's fine. I don't know that it was properly checked to go live. I don't remember. Okay. People in chat say it went up. Okay, good.
Good. I want to play that game.
It's, it's, you know, from watching Dan play it and talking about it, it seems really good, but
it has a value problem.
Right.
Yeah, I think for me, I like those levels enough in the last game that I'm totally okay with it being a little overpriced or whatever.
Yeah.
I just like that they found a way to make Toad a compelling character at all. Toad is always the worst character in everything in Mario.
I mean, he's no Yoshi, but sure. Toad is just not.
You know what? At least Yoshi has a personality, man.
Well, I think, you know, like the argument would be like Toad is not supposed to be a character because Toad is a race. You never know which Toad you're getting.
Sure. say, I'm glad they found a way to differentiate a Toad.
Yeah. By promoting him to captain.
Yes. Adding a military rank is usually all it takes to get me on board.
Yeah. Stay tuned next year for Major Mario.
Lieutenant Rosalina.
Lieutenant Colonel Donkey Kong.
Sergeant Shy Guy.
Sure.
It's just Shy Guy in a Sergeant Slaughter outfit.
Okay.
Giving like, people like camel clutches.
Bolt on chin.
Yep. Yeah, the mask just sort of curves out like a chin.
Apparently, General Shy Guy happened in Paper Mario.
The original?
I don't know.
See, this building is basically done.
Yeah. I assume there are, like, people in it and businesses and such. And
you would hope.
There's a sign and shit up. But...
Oh, boy.
This alley has been an extraordinary shit show. I think on Wednesday I sat out here for 10 minutes while a truck blocked everything.
Great.
Like, we're about to now.
Yeah, he seems to be closing up, so maybe we're not so screwed here.
These guys carrying this stuff.
Your stuff, it's fine.
She's just supervising.
So we'll be sitting here for a couple minutes. Cool, and there's another truck behind us that's now stopped, so we're essentially just sandwiched.
Yep. Great. Trapped forever.
This is how shit went down in Clear and Present Danger. There are people that are just going to start firing rockets from the rooftops. We're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is a bad ambush point here. This is like if we were an armored car, I would be calling in.
Yep.
And saying like, hey, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, I mean, I can only go so forward here.
Yeah, and you can go perfectly.
All right.
Let's get out and kick the guy's ass.
Yeah, you know, I thought about it for a second there. I thought he had a cute dog, so I kind of was like, all right.
Sure, all right. The dog's sick. Nope, he's abandoned this truck and run off to start a new life for himself.
Well,
you know, I'm gonna grow a mustache and work in a bar. It's gonna be the best. Fuck this truck.
Actually, that sounds kind of appealing right now. leave this, ditch this rental car.
Okay.
Hitchhike to Mexico.
I mean, if we got this car out of this alley, we could drive this car to Mexico, but...
No. It's not, that's not the way.
Okay. All right. No, that's... I like that this guy at least attempted to look like he was scooting at a faster than average speed to get back into this truck.
There's a lot of like.
Yeah, a lot of like arm motions, like, I'm going! No, I'm blocking the alley.
I know there's another truck here, guy, but you can make this, I promise you. You can do this.
Pal finger. Watch out for Palfinger. Oh, now this other truck's moving.
Just got trucks moving all over the place here. Trucks for days.
God damn it, we're never going to make it out of here, are we?
Nope.
We're going to become this guy. They're going to give us a yellow fucking vest. We're going to look all befuddled like this guy.
That's how they get you. It's in the thing.
All right, everybody, we're here. I'm going to turn this thing off.
Let's go do video game work.
All right, we're going to go do video game work. See ya.